Welcome to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Straight talk, enthusiastic support, and heartfelt encouragement for you to open up to your sacred sexuality. And now your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Excited and honored to be sharing with you all once again this month. As we go, we include meditations, discussion, education, awareness on facets of our sexuality and consciousness that we often don't feel the capacity to openly explore, maybe not feeling like we're in a safe space or we feel like we have no one to talk to or to share or to listen to about it. And this is what this is about, being authentically you and letting yourself trust to be you is a big part of what this path is about to me. So what is sacred sexuality? Stories of my own path and other sorts of explorations are topics that we explore on this monthly program. We are going to begin, as we do, with settling in and getting into our body with a few breaths. So I invite slowing down, acknowledging, giving yourself a moment to really deepen with this journey. So a breath of gratitude, maybe with some sound. For yourself, for taking time for you to open the space of possibility. And to be here now. Acknowledging your center, your ground, feeling the earth below, around you, in whatever way you're relating. Call beloved, lover earth, mother earth, help me. Help me to connect my body to you. Help me to feel the deep space. Come in to light me up, opening to those ecstatic currents that are around. Acknowledging the above, beyond, mystery, divine, source, however we want to relate to the mystery, letting yourself, yes, please, divine, sacred, masculine, to balance that feminine of the earth, divine, sacred, masculine, come in, help me to trust to receive your love, come in through my body, meet the joy of the earth mother, and acknowledge yourself as a being of transformation and change, a chalice, a channel of possibilities. And with the breath once again of gratitude, allowing yourself to come into the awareness of being here now. So here we are exploring today. Today's topic is something that's come up for me recently in working with clients and as I've been communicating with others in the realm of the sexuality of the younger generation. We're going to explore a little bit the nature of the hookup culture. And I believe this is born in something that I would call the qualities of sex positive, the qualities of the sexual liberation that have been happening for decades now, where it's like, you know, sex feels good and we're allowed to feel good. And so I'm noticing as our younger generations are moving into adulthood, into late teens, early 20s, college era, and that they're into the realm of really going, hey, you know what? Unlike decades and decades ago of so much repression in my sexuality, I've decided, and I feel good about that, it is okay to feel good in my body. And with that, there is, I think what is happening is sex positive is sometimes becoming a bit of a sex negative almost. Like it's like the positive, the intention behind the positive is good. The intention behind, you know, we're allowed to feel our sexuality and our pleasure. sometimes it's landing in a way that is creating the opposite. And this is what I want to explore as we get into today, a little bit of what I'm going to call the hookup culture. And before we do that, we're going to take just a short break as I then come back and we will explore that topic.
Event calendar to join in. Also, reminder that Leslie is available for speaking engagements and for private sessions. More information at the website. Thank you again for joining us, Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you would like to talk to Leslie live on the air, you can do so by calling 646-378-0378. That number again, 646-378-0378. And now, back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Yay, my love. Sometimes things call and we have to shift quickly. I so appreciate you. And back to our topic. So this is the exploration today of what is, you know, of the hookup culture and how it's, I believe, impacting sexuality with our younger generation, and how I think it's gotten, I think something has shifted through the decades that it's gotten misunderstood. So what I was describing was this nature of sex positive. We are coming into times where more and more people are recognizing the power and the importance of our sexual connections, that, hey, it's not just something to be repressed and hidden in the shadows for decades and decades and eons as the way it had in the past. However, view, or what I'm seeing in theory, and I'm seeing this through my work, so I'm getting many, many younger clients coming in working with issues that I'm seeing almost an epidemic of issues of things like erectile dysfunction in really young men. And this is what's sparking a bit of the theme of what I'm describing today. And so coming back to this nature of what we call sex positive, of going, hey, you know, let's bring sexuality out of the shadows and talk about it and be with it. What I think is happening, though, is that sometimes it's taken a little bit too far. And I think the nature of the internet and the nature of pornography and sexuality being incredibly readily available without the full context, I'll say, sometimes, can really set up a level of perception and expectation around what sex and sexuality is supposed to be if these young people are not being educated in other ways. And we don't have a good, at least in the U.S., oh my gosh, our general trend for sex education and awareness is still quite appalling, as what I've seen, even as my teenage daughter is moving through her years. And so I think what happens is if we don't talk about it, or if we only give it this high level, like, here's the body parts, here's how babies are made, which is usually the only sex education that our kids get, and no one sits and talks about the connection, the power of being in love, being in our love, opening to love, and connecting with our energy and our bodies, and trusting being in our bodies, and trusting what it's like to come in contact and to be with our sexual energy in an intentional way. Instead, it gets rushed and sort of glamorized and set into the entertainment realms. And so things like the culture, as all this freely available sex and porn, it's all about, and I'm not saying this is all bad, so this is, I'm not here to just crash on porn, but I do believe it's setting up expectations that are incredibly unrealistic. So what the culture of all this freely available, like, entertainment-based sexuality is that it has to be really big, big energy, fast, do. You know, it's all based on do, go, go, hard, short segments, grab attention, you know, short attention span, really outcome-based, and really friction-based intensity in our sexuality. And this is just the nature of short attention span internet nuggets of anything, any topic. Often it's these really quick things. So when our kids or young adults now, this isn't just, I'm not talking minors, I'm talking like we're talking 18 and over here, these young men and women and young beings of any gender identity, that the only way they've gotten to really truly learn about sex or sexuality is through these quick, short bits and bytes on the internet. It's setting up these tremendously unrealistic expectations and causing, I believe, a great deal of dysfunction. So under this guise of sexual liberation, under this guise of like, hey, it's all, you know, we're allowed to feel sex too, and we're allowed to feel good too. I think there is a culture that's clashing and causing a couple of key things to happen. So what I believe, what I'm seeing happening is a couple of things. One, our young men. So when I talk about gender spectrum, I acknowledge there's a huge spectrum, a rainbow of the way we may relate to our bodies and our physicality as well as our energetics. And so I'm going to use the term men and women very broadly. This can include trans men and women. This can include however you relate. But this, what I will say, male-bodied beings, that our young men, and I'll just kind of use that category for the moment for simplicity of discussion, are experiencing a lot of erectile dysfunction. So, you know, what I'm seeing and hearing is, wow, I can't get hard when I want to. I don't feel anything. I feel like I can't perform. I'm trying so hard by looking at all these other things to get hard that I'm not really present for what's going on with my partner. Like I'm working so hard to try to do something or to try to create this arousal thing from outside. So it's creating this quality of like feeling like, quote, my dick doesn't work. And I've heard this quote. So this type of energy is strong, and I think I see it like really broadly. Now, the other thing that's happening, I believe, with women, and again, we could say female-bodied beings or however we want to relate to often our women, is that there's this like, again, under the guise of like, well, hey, I want to feel sex too. It's not just about the guys. Then there's this expectation of, well, you know, I'm going to do it. It feels good. So I want to have sex. So let's go. And so there's this almost forcing themselves and not necessarily an acknowledgement of that. So I'm just going to speak from my experience on this one. My personal experience back when I was in the early decades of my sexual exploration was that, and I didn't see this at the time, but I look back on it and I go, oh my gosh, I was totally pushing myself and totally forcing myself into having these friction-based experiences thinking, yeah, it feels good. And it did, right? There is a level of feel good from that interaction of sex that isn't necessarily for our women, young women, isn't necessarily satiating or complete. So there's this forcing themselves to do it. Not really is it about cultivating their own pleasure, but it may be more about, well, when my partner experiences pleasure, or when they come, or when they have this ejaculatory orgasm experience, then, okay, it's complete and I'm done. And I'll just sort of tolerate wherever I'm at in that spectrum because maybe of just not knowing any other way. And so that was my case. I hadn't had an orgasm I could only have an orgasm in the first couple of decades of my experience, you know, while I was a young teenager and as I grew into, you know, late teens and early 20s, I was still in a place of, nope, you know, I never had an orgasm by anybody else. It was only by my own hand, very externally stimulated with nothing inside my yoni. And so I just assumed I was one of this category of people that I thought, oh, you know, and you just can't have an orgasm that way. And so I just chalked it up to that. And I would have said my sex life was good. But what I learned later and what I want to invite is that it can be much more empowering and satiating and feel really good for all involved, like to not undermine our own needs and wants and desires for pleasure and connection just by thinking that we're not good enough or we're taking too long or we're whatever, and so we'll just default to our partner, which I think and I fear is what happens a lot. So I want to come back to, so all of these expectations, this sort of like shove out into the world of like sex positivity, but also, hey, you know, let's watch all these short internet chunks on Fast and Hard and set up all of our expectations around what sex and pleasure is supposed to be like based on it, is creating dysfunction. So let's explore a little bit what's happening at an energetic level from what I see, what I'll offer. And we'll start with just a little bit of a grounding. I like to use the words feminine and masculine to describe this. To be clear, when I'm using feminine and masculine, I do not mean boy and girl, men and women, male and female. It's not about gender. When I use those words, when I use gendered words, I'll be specific about it. But for feminine and masculine, what I'm talking about are the qualities of energy that are within us all, no matter how we identify in our gender. So what I will say next are feminine. This is our feminine in all of us, men, women, however we identify in gender. Our feminine needs to be heard. She needs to be listened to. When she does not feel safe or when she feels pushed or rushed, she's going to kind of like hide behind the seed shell of our heart and be like, I don't know if I'm ready to come out. And so she'll just stay hidden. Our feminine is that very cool, lunar, soft, surrender, open quality. She tends to get trampled on by our masculine, no offense. And I'm speaking from my own personal experience on this. My own masculine trampled my feminine for years. But then our masculine is this very active, fiery, driven principle. He's very much about like, go, do, act and think and plan and analyze. So when our masculine is in this place of just like, well, I want sex too, you know, there can be this pushing, this aggressiveness, this like, we need to do it like this, you know, without really holding what I'll call safe space, which our masculine is totally capable of if we give him a chance. So our healthy masculine, take it a step further, when we can really cultivate and connect with our healthy masculine, there's a quality of our healthy masculine that can be like, he creates safety and he holds space and he witnesses without judging. Really cultivating a safe space, a sense of, that I can relax into and open up with and trust and surrender into his focus and direction. So our feminine, she wants that. She wants to be seen. She wants to be loved. She wants somebody to pay attention and to really see her and to focus on her. Focus on just me right now. Be present with me. And so again, this is feminine, not just women. This is feminine. This is the feminine in our men. There's a quality in there that says, would you just listen to me too? And says, hey, as you listen, then I'm going to, you know, you're listening, you're focused, you're right here. Oh, really? You're right here? You're not leaving? You're right here? Yes. Now there's a softening, an opening, a pouring, and she will offer, the feminine will offer her deep, amazing gifts of feminine pleasure. She will offer that juice, that joy, that chaotic, vibrant, right? She brings that in. But she is not going to do that if she doesn't feel seen, if she doesn't feel safe, or if she feels like somebody's in there grabbing at her. So what she's waiting on is like, and she'll wait. She'll wait forever. She's in love, right? There's like, she'll wait and be, but she won't emerge. She wants to have that masculine focus on her so exquisitely, so presently, that there's a slowing down, there's a holding space for, there's an allowing her to emerge. And that surrender, that open, that allow can happen versus getting in there and trying to yank her out. Which is what happens when we're pushing and when we're in those internet chunks of attention-grabbing bites of information that are like, yeah, look at this charge, big, 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 go, go, go. Wow, look at all this intensity. And I'm saying this whether we're seeing men or women or any bodied being in in pornographic nuggets, because we're not seeing the whole picture. We're not seeing how that was cultivated. We're seeing these little attention-grabbing entertainment chunks. So what'll happen for the feminine is, if she feels like the masculine is checking out or distracted or can't focus, can't be focused long enough, like focused for a second and then where'd you go? You're looking away. Who are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Like, so if that's happening, if she senses that the masculine is checking out or distracted or can't focus, or if she senses, you know, the masculine is pushing or driving or forcing, like, come on, we got to do this. Either of those things can cause the feminine to be like, you know, nope, I'm going back behind that seed shell. And now the feminine checks out and the feminine says, nah, I can't be here. And then that's that juice, that joy, that charge. Our feminine is the energy that brings into the situation, where a masculine is that quality of focused, directed space holding. He's the director. He's consciousness. In the realms of Shiva and Shakti, you know, it's this consciousness and energy. So the director, the creator of space, the I'm going to move and be present with and focus so completely here that I can guide this, as the energy, the juice, he's the masculine, as the energy, the juice, the joy, that feminine energy coming in. And again, I'm using these words because they are the best I've found to describe it, but I will reiterate once again, it is not about gender. We can tap into this in no matter how we identify in our gender, in our physical bodies, or in our energetic bodies. And we can dance it around and play in it, right? It's not just one or the other, it's both. So when this happens, when we have the distraction or the forcing, that's when things start to get funky. That's when our men, you know, we may find like, I can't feel, I've numbed out. I can't get an erection when I want to. I can't get it up. I can for a little while and then I can't long enough, right? This expectation that there has to be this. Get it's almost like this intensity of hurry up, get hard, get in, get off, and get out. Like this quick, intense, like physical, forced, friction-based mentality of what our sexuality is about. So now there's this pressure. Oh, I got to focus. I got to try to be there, and I can't. And I'm so, okay, well, if I have to perform, then number one, I have to get aroused and excited. So if that's not happening, then I have to figure out how to make that happen. And so now I check out and I'm off thinking about that, the porn that I watch daily that helps me get aroused and get off. So now I'm off somewhere else in that land as I'm with my lover, with my partner, and I'm thinking about that. And I'm not saying this to beat up our young men. I'm not saying this is a bad thing when we're thinking about other things. But what it is it's not holding space with where you are in the moment and where your lover is. And it's not your fault. It's not happening because you're doing something wrong. It's happening because you've trained, you know, your body's been trained to, I've got to go grasp at these outside things to get up and to get hard. And what I'll invite is we can shift that. So we're going to come back to that. So if there's that, I can't be focused and present, I have to think about all these other things. So now the you know, one of the partners, in this case, I'm giving male bodies and female bodies an example in this case. This can happen with any bodies, female, female, male, male, any genders, any way we identify in our gender identity and sexual preferences. I'm just using one example right now of this dynamic. So when then the male body goes, oh my gosh, I can't, I like, and so now they're distracted, right? Well, what did I just say? If the feminine is feeling like the masculine just went absent on them, then they're going to close down. So now that joy and that juice you're trying to cultivate together has even less of a chance of coming in because the container isn't there. There's no co-creation of how can we bring this juice in together? There's this pulling away and I need to try to charge up so that I can bring that to my partner instead of like, let's meet our arousal and our energy together. So as then the male sort of disappears, the female or the woman might say, oh my gosh, this, I'm checking out and I'm going to disappear. And so now she's in her own head. He's in his own head. There's really no interaction energetically or connection, and each just trying to just sort of do their own thing. So then what happens is, like what I'll say, our women or our female bodied beings, there's this friction sensation that feels good. So there might be like, yeah, that feels good, but I need more. I need more of this sensation because I'm numbing out too. I'm disconnecting from my own body too. Speaking from my own personal experience, I can say I've done this. So now I need more and more and more. I need more pressure, more sensation. In my case, there was also stuff that happened in my life. Our bodies carry our entire sexual history, literally in the G-spot or the prostate, which is the prostate, right? Whether we're in a female body or a male body, our prostate. In a female body, we often call that the G-spot body. But there's really not great terms for any of this stuff. So this exquisite, sponge-like, energetically absorptive tissue that is a source of great pleasure, can be, stores our history. So as we're coming now into contact with these places that we may have through the experiences of our lives, created armor and shielding and numbed out so that we actually don't feel, and not that that's a bad thing, it's how we held some experience, and then we held it in that way that was of the most balance at the time, and that's actually quite a gift to go, wow, that's the best way I can hold this right now, okay. But there may be a time when we're ready for that to unwind and to reveal. So all of this repression, and maybe there was abuse, maybe there was trauma, maybe there was just simply a time where you were told you weren't good enough, and we carried and we got small and we dimmed our light and we held on and we created this shield. So then in our female bodied beings, then what's happening is, hey, they need more and more and more pressure. I need more pressure. I need more sensation. You're not doing it hard enough. You're not doing it fast enough because I can't feel anything. So we're driving for more and more and expecting this performance thing that's creating then. And again, we're not blaming our women, our female bodied beings either. Like, we're asking for that because we don't realize how much numbness our body is often carrying. And so in my case, I was asking my lover to push so hard inside me at my G-spot that he eventually took his fingers out of my body, pressed them against my thigh and said, do you realize how hard I'm pressing on you? I'm afraid I'm going to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you. And I was shocked. I'm like, you're kidding. It was that hard? And sure enough, like the next day, I had blood in my urine. So I was pushing myself, not because I was trying to hurt myself, not because I was mad at myself or doing something on purpose to be deceitful to myself, but because I want to feel too. And I was trying to push through those layers of sensation. And in his support of that, we pushed so hard, we bruised the tender tissue around my urethra, and I was had blood in my urine the next day. Now, luckily, that healed and moved through and no worries. But it's an example of what I mean about the pushing that we create. So what I want to invite is then we have this cycle where, I'm going to use men and women for a minute as words, where our men are going, I can't get up, I can't get hard, because they've watched so much intensity and have so high of expectation around what fast and hard and doing they need to do, and their bodies are just going, I can't do that. And they, frankly, I don't blame them. They shouldn't have to do it that way, right? And our women are going, yeah, you need more pressure. You need, because they're not feeling much. And so they're wanting more sensation. And so what's happening is our women aren't letting go an orgasm, not having orgasms, not having ejaculations. For me, that was definitely the case for years. And yet it can still feel good. And don't get me wrong, none of this is about blame. It can still feel really good. And when our sex lives feel great, awesome. Like, no blame. There's nothing you need to change. And when you feel like something's got to be different, there's got to be another way. I feel like there's got to be more to life than this, or got to be more to my sexual energy than this. There just has to be. That's when you know maybe you could look at another way. So I'll call it yes and. When we're completely satiated and satisfied as things are going, great. And when we notice that we might like to explore other possibilities, great. Many, many facets. So now we have men who feel like they can't get it up, get hard, or perform. Women who feel like they're not getting really much outcome out of sex. Like it feels good, but there's no deeply satiated completion. There's no, whether that's an orgasmic release or ejaculations, there's just this, yeah, it feels really good. Then my partner comes and then it's done. And that, hey, I am a woman who feels sexually empowered and feels good about my body. So I'm going to go have sex because I want to have sex. And great. And I'll invite. Does it feel complete? Does it feel connected? Does it feel like you can be present with your partner? So this cycle, this drive and expectation that comes from our masculine, right, who's going, come on, I need more, I need more, I need more, even when that's our masculine and our women, in my own body, for example, that drive and expectation puts pressure on the performance, and then now there's less capacity to be present because maybe one of the partners is trying to create that performance, and so they're pulling away to try to create some experience in their mind that's going to create this arousal or create this erection. So now they're not present, but when they're not present, then there's the whole thing where the feminine pulls away and now the juice isn't there and it doesn't feel good, and then we're back in the same cycle. So this, what do we do? Like, take a breath and just acknowledge all of this. I think this is a theme, it's a pattern. I've seen it come through my doors in many ways as I've had people ask questions and come to me wondering, there's just got to be another way, right? Can you help? Yes, there is another way. So what is that other way? What's the shift that needs to happen so that we can feel good about feeling good? And that, yeah, this whole nature of a hookup culture, rather than it being something that's just creating more and more shutting down by trying to drive and drive harder and harder to something that's not there, then we can open up to a new way that says, what's it like to truly feel good in your body and reclaim and reconnect with your power? That's the nature of sacred sexuality. Reclaiming, listening to our bodies, trusting our energy, and reconnecting with our power. It is possible. It is real. It's beautiful. So let's take another short break, and we're going to come back to explore that in just a moment.
You are listening live. Today is Tuesday, June 20th, 2017, and you are listening to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you'd like to talk with Leslie live on the air, give us a call at 646-378-0378. That number again is 646-378-0378. And now back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Thank you. So this beautiful, beautiful day, there's a cool breeze, it's sunny out, and it is filling me with like renewed energy and vibrancy. And to me, that's what we're exploring as we talk about this shift, the shift of what can happen when we release these patterns of the hookup culture and let ourselves reclaim our sacred sexuality. And so again, this isn't about beating up the hookup culture or beating up porn. It is about saying, wow, what's it like to reclaim our true sexual sovereignty, our true sexual joy and liberation by feeling good about and connecting with what feels good instead of forcing it to be something it's not, which I believe is sometimes what's happening. So the way we do that, instead of forcing it to be something it's not, let's first repattern what is sexuality. And so part of what I invite as I'm working with folks in this realm is we got to unplug from these sets of mainstream views and expectations that says sex has to look one way. And we're setting with all of that, sex is supposed to look like this. Then there's this expectation for performance and expectation for doing, and then this, like, we train ourselves to go and force ourselves down that line. So let's just pull away from it, unplug from it. Take a breath, release the porn, release the sense of you have to do this thing to be masculine, or you have to do this thing to be feminine, or you have to do this thing to be a man or a woman, or you have to do this thing to not be, you know, to release gender binaries and to just be who you are. So all of this feminine masculine discussion, remember, is regardless of how we identify in gender. This is all about meeting and connecting with the energies and fluidities within our own bodies, and that we can do that no matter what our body physicality or energetics are. And so I believe the more we can really release these expectations of boxes, the more we can really open and create and, I'll say, reconnect with and remember our authentic selves and our authenticity in connection. It's like we've been trained that ourselves look one way. And I'm seeing more and more where that's being lifted, and I'm so grateful. It still happens, but it's more and more and more available where we don't have to only sit in a gender bucket that says, oh, females do this way, and males do this way, and you have these body parts, and you have these gender expectations and societal interactions. And luckily, more and more we're going, you know, that's really kind of bogus. Let's just be who we are. So let's take that same liberal view of gender and bring it into our relating, whether that's relating in a heterosexual connection, which it may be, and whether that's relating in any other relating bucket. And we don't even have to name them, because to me, I love releasing all these buckets. So it's just about being in our body and relating with other beings. What does that look like? And not worry about the buckets. So the shift, what I believe can shift this, this what I'll call dysfunction, or these things where people are saying, I can't get erections when I want to, I can't feel my energy, or when I can't let go in an orgasm, or I can't let go in a satiating completion of my sexual connection, I feel held back, I feel repressed. These types of things that are showing up, how do we shift them? And I'll invite this. Starts with slow way down. We've been taught and trained that we have to rush towards sex, that if we don't do it quick, we're going to lose the chance. If we don't do it quick, somebody's going to come in and find out, and we're going to get in trouble. If we don't rush, then we're not going to get that opportunity again. There is so much heavy stuff around how we've related in our sexual energy that we've just patterned it in. So there's a rush experience. So first step, slow down. Take the pressure off. So yeah, kiss, touch, cuddle, connect, let your hearts open. Be present with your own body. Be present with your lover. What do you notice when you go slow enough to listen? Notice, one of the first things you might notice is the sense of the need to rush. So you've got, you're slowing down, but your head, this little sensor in your mind is sitting on your shoulder just going, you know, you should be doing it this way, or you should be doing this, and the next step is this, and okay, you've started this, so you should touch in this way. And just release that. Like, why do I think I need to do it that way? Let's slow down and breathe. When you feel your partner rushing with you, you can meet it with, hey, let's take a breath together. Could we slow here? Please hold, breathe. Please, hold, breathe. And take a moment to really watch what the energy is that's moving, instead of assuming we have to do something to force it. So slowing way down. Listening. Listen to your body. What does your body say? What does your lover's body say? What is the energy you're creating? How is it guiding you? all we have to do is be exquisitely present. This is that masculine piece again. Again, not gender. The masculine is that focused, present. I am conscious and here and now. I'm not thinking about yesterday. I'm not planning for tomorrow. I am simply here now. And notice the energy and then follow it. What's your body say? What are you noticing? What sensation is emerging with that breath? And you draw this energy that's maybe starting in the pelvis in this strong way, but as you breathe, you draw it up and you feel your nipples light up and flow. Maybe your nipples want some touch and contact. You know, so exploring, listening, and then repattern. So the repatterning comes from a place of really acknowledging that the way you are operating in your sexual energy is almost always, at first, patterned based on stuff you've experienced or seen or heard or learned, or sort of the general field of consciousness around sexual energy. So we were describing this earlier, like a lot of sexual energy is seen these days as entertainment-based, rushed, fast, outcome-oriented, not at all about really slowing down and listening. It's about the money shot. You know, what is that little nugget of inspiration, the short segment that grabs your attention? So if that's the way you've noticed your early experiences, then of course those are going to pattern in. So the repatterning part is, it can be really, it's very powerful, and it can be hard to do at first because we have, until we know there are other possibilities, it's hard to know there are other possibilities. And so without knowing them, it's hard to create them. So ways to do that are to start to unwind from the patterns that exist that are creating what you're in. And one of those ways is to release from porn. So the porn, the traditional mainstream porn that I've been describing, that's very about rush, active, short segments, really hard and intense. What starts to happen in the brain when we're meeting this type of sensation is we get, the reason it feels good is we get a dopamine release. We're like, ah, yay, dopamine. It's this great yummy chemical that feels really good. Awesome. The problem is, what can happen with porn, as in what can happen with other addictive substances like drugs, is the brain goes, okay, that was awesome. And then the next time it's like, well, but I need more. That wasn't enough. I need this more to find this next level of, and so the dopamine receptors in the brain start to get overloaded, and we need more and more and more of the hit, so to speak, to get the high. And this, there's a lot of research out there actually on this. You can do a little research, a little Googling on the way this type of like pornography and other addictive things can grab, can cause this wiring in the brain that becomes hard to override, because now we need more and more and more stimulation externally to have this same yummy sensation. So the way is to start to, there's different ways about it. It depends. Each person's different on how I might suggest working with it. And so when I work with people, we do it differently with each one. It depends on what's emerging for them. But the premise is, let's either just sort of cold turkey, get rid of pornography stimulation for a while, or it might be a taper down of it, or it might, it just can look different ways in different beings. But the idea is, unplug from these experiences and stimulations that are causing so much intensity in the wiring in the brain that we don't have a way to meet it. So we've got to unplug from it and give ourselves a chance, like get our brains a chance to recircuit, to create a new pattern. So when I say repatterning, it's really awareness of the way we've patterned in our lives and giving ourselves a chance to build new patterns and new structures in the brain and in the body. So unplugging from these hyper-stimulation things, so pornography is one of them. Another one can be the really intense sexual stimulation. So for example, one example, let's just say we're talking about a young man here who is daily masturbating to porn. And so their daily experience becomes watching porn, watching more and more intense porn, because each day the what gets them hard and what gets them off, it becomes higher and higher levels of stimulation. So now they're stroking their lingam, their which lingam is wand of light, right? So our penis, the cock, another way I refer to it is the lingam, which means wand of light. They're stroking themselves in such a way that become it's a specific way, usually a specific hand. And there's a lot of friction and there's a lot of speed and a lot of intensity. And it usually takes more and more, because as there's more friction and more speed and more intensity, the body starts numbing out to that sensation and needs more pressure. So now more and more and more has to happen. More stimulation outside has to happen. Maybe even more heavy impact toys have to happen, vibration and things like that. There's all sorts of ways that this additional sensory pressure to try to, or, you know, try to have additional stimulation to feel the same sensations. Whoa. So let's unwind. Drop away some of the external stimulation, the pornography or the heavy machinery or the heavy hand, and explore a new way. So when I ask clients, what were your earliest sexual experiences? And we dive in. What we might learn is those earliest sexual experiences were the very things that patterned this way of being with our bodies, because we just, that was what we learned. We saw something on the internet, or we caught some picture of some way that we thought it was supposed to be. And so that's what we drove, you know, in that one way we had that orgasm the first time or that ejaculation the first time. Oh my gosh, it felt so good. And so we go back to that one thing. So what I mean by repatterning is unplugging from these intense situations that are hyper-stimulating and giving space to rewire, to repattern, to reclaim sensation, to reclaim pleasure. So it's about listening to the body, slowing down, repatterning, because that is the power of our sacred sexuality, that we can reclaim and reconnect with our power. This is powerful, and it is real. It's possible. I work with many, many people who have reclaimed the connection to sensation, have reclaimed their capacity to meet erection, and reclaimed their capacity to let go and feel satiated in orgasm and ejaculations, and letting go into feeling and connecting deeply with their own body and with their partner. And those are powerful. Reclaiming our sexual sovereignty. So with that, let's take one more break. We'll come back and listen to the body.
Thank you for joining us today. You are listening live to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Leslie has a new website where you can find radio podcasts, video casts, and more free resources at Leslie Black. The website is mobile-friendly and has the full class and event schedule, information on private sessions, mailing list sign-up, and much more, again at leslieblackburn.com. Leslie offers private sessions and has helped many hundreds of individuals and couples over years on their path of sacred sexuality. Sessions are available either in person or by Skype or phone. See details on the website under Classes and Coaching. There are also a couple of options for home study practices. Sacred sexuality classes on four new topics are available by video. You can purchase access to these at the website. And the Tantric Energy Touch Workshop is available as an audio CD. Order online at the website. The best way to get announcements about upcoming events, as well as inspirational stories, videos, and radio show archives, is to subscribe to the email newsletter by clicking on the link on the website, again, leslieblackburn.com. Also, Leslie's Sacred Sexuality videocast airs monthly. You can choose your level of involvement, whether you want to be a part of the conversation live or just sit back and take it in. See details at the website. Finally, reminder that Leslie is available for speaking engagements and for private sessions. More information at the website, LeslieBlackburn.com. And now back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Thank you, my love. So let's take a breath and drop back into the body. This journey of sacred sexuality, of reclaiming our power, trusting our bodies, feeling our energy, trusting feeling good. What's it like to really feel good about feeling good? So as we do, check in with your body. Notice as you feel your belly, what may emerge, what sensations. Take a breath into feeling the points of contact of your body with the earth and feel how there you may notice the pressure or warmth. Maybe you feel a breeze against the skin, cool or warm at the upper lip as you breathe through nostrils. As you give yourself permission to make sound, feel where the vibration emerges in your body. And as you invite yourself to deepen into your present moment of sensation, remember this as you meet your sexual energy, bringing presencing and power and connection to our bodies in a cool state here as we're breathing. Is one thing, can be hard all on its own. To breathe that, bring that presencing and that connection of what really are we noticing about our bodies into a place of sexual energy can be that much more challenging. Our sexual energy is one that can grow, expand, explore, and intensify in ways, sometimes quick, sometimes unexpected. So let yourself call in the quality of play, of reclaiming play, of reclaiming childlike wonder and awe and innocence as you listen to your body and take the pressure off. Reclaiming our power of joy, of play, of noticing and relating. From there, opening our eyes to the possibilities, the infinite possibilities. With a breath of gratitude for yourself, thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing this journey with me. Deep, deep namaste.
Thank you for joining us today for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you'd like to contact Leslie, please visit her website, leslieblackburn.com. Leslie is available for private sessions, and you can find more information about this at the website. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and have a beautiful day.
Join us again next time for continued support on your path of self-realization. The power is within you to heal your body, connect deeply with others, manifest your heart's desires, and experience your deepest bliss. By our healing, we impact others, inspiring love for humanity and the planet. Thank you for joining us for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn.